Now we're getting to the bottom of everything.
It's time for Mother Angelica.
I mean, that's awesome.
Answering the call.
Answering the call.
This world is no place for Catholic chickens.
Answering the call.
You call that a failure? I call it a great success.
Here's Father Joseph and Doug Kent.
And welcome once again to Mother Angelica Answering the Call here on EWTN's Catholic Radio Network. I'm Doug Keck, your host, along with our chaplain here, Father Joseph Mary Wolf, longtime friend of Mother Angelica. And you were the first priest, right?
That's right. And, you know, you and I knew her well. And it's like listening to her all over again, which is kind of a wonderful thing to be able to hear these programs.
And they really are timeless, and we've found that. And some of the topics that she'll be answering questions about, someone dealing with anger with God, somebody about choosing God's mother, how that happened, what happens when you're dealing with people getting married outside the church, what about angels? And also in a tough situation where a woman's dealing with a husband who wants a divorce. But let's move quickly into the first set of topics. One person talking about the idea of being angry with God. That's not an unusual situation, is it?
No, and this past weekend I was at a parish and I was asked that very question, the question of suffering. Why does God permit such tragic suffering? This woman had lost her husband. He was just 44 years old. And they had prayed. And so you're asking and you're seeking, you're knocking. But I thought Mother had this wonderful insight that just go before the Blessed Sacrament and say, Father, like your mother gave you to the, or you just as your mother gave you to the Father, I give my husband to you. So right. She's saying to this to Jesus, just as your mother gave you to the Father, I give my husband to you.
Right. I thought it really struck me. She talks about imitating Our Lady in her way to say, why, Father? No, she didn't do it. She saw everything the way our Lord saw it. She didn't sit there and say, you gave me this child, he did all these wonderful things, and now he's being crucified.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this understanding of no matter how much we don't see it, it's ultimately God's will.
And I always like the image that Padre Pio would give of the woman who's doing embroidery and her child's at her knees. And he's looking up and he sees these ugly knots and colors and confusion. But then she turns over the embroidery and she sees the beauty of his handiwork. And that's our lives, too. There's a lot of trials and ugliness in many ways. And yet we're going to see at the end this beauty.
Right. Speaking of beauty, we have a question where someone asked, how did God decide to choose Mary as Jesus's mother?
So this was a delightful call from a six-year-old. Mm-hmm. And so Mother talks about how he didn't just pick her among a lot of other women, but actually she was prepared and chosen by him. So she was specially prepared for this role as his mother.
Right, exactly. And let's take a look at these two, anger with God and choosing God's mother.
We have a call. Hello?
Hello, Mother Angelica.
And where are you from?
I'm from Villa Grove, Illinois.
Wonderful. What is your question?
Well, Mother, today I had some sadness. A friend of mine, Kathy, her husband was sick for just a few hours. Mm. He was only 44 years old, and he died.
Sorry.
And my friend is so angry with God because she feels that her prayers were not honored. We were all praying and saying rosaries, and she just feels so angry with God because she feels that her husband was taken from her so young. She has two grown sons, but she doesn't understand, Mother, and I'm trying to get the words to say to her. Do you have something I can give to her?
It's hard, hard. And I know you understand, and if we look at it on a natural level, on a human level, it seems unjust, unfair. But God's his infinite wisdom. Maybe he would have had something that was extremely painful for years and years and years and years. And maybe the Lord knew he couldn't take it, neither would she or could she. And he took him at that point, he would suffer less. That's very possible with our merciful Jesus. Sometimes things like this are his permitting will, and sometimes his ordaining will. Whatever it is a great cross. Now she needs to imitate Our Lady, Could Our Lady have said, Father, you gave me your son? Why? He healed the sick, and the sick are saying, crucify him. He healed the blind and the leper, and those who were rotting away. And those dead, he made them rise. Why, Father? No, she didn't do that. She saw everything as our Lord saw it. Before Pilate, standing before an unjust, weak judge. We have a lot of those today. Saying to him, answer me. Don't you know I have the power to release you and the power to crucify you? And he said, no, you have no power over me, except what is given you above. At that awesome moment of injustice, the most gross injustice, that we crucify and scourge our God, he put him straight. Our Lady stood at the cross. Every pain he had, she had. Not in degree, because he was God, but only in a degree that only a mother can suffer for her child. She said, thy will be done. She didn't question that he decided, and the Father decided, to save you and me and this woman and her husband by an ignominious death early in life, 33. Maybe you can explain that. But she needs to just go before the Blessed Sacrament and say, Father, like your mother gave you to the Father, I give my husband to you. Don't be angry. You lose an awesome opportunity to make a giant step in holiness. We have another call. Hello?
Hello, my name's Daniel.
How old are you, Daniel?
6.
What is your question?
Can you tell me how come God picked Mary to be the mother of him?
Well, when our dear Lord, when it was time for him to come and live in our midst to redeem us, the Father had to create, not pick. I pick what's already there, huh? If I was going to pick somebody to win a basket of fruit, I would pick them from people already present, huh? So our Lord didn't pick Our Lady from a lot of other young girls. He chose her. See, there's a difference, big difference. He chose her specially from all eternity with very special gifts, very special graces, very special everything, so that this creature, this woman, would be the Ark of the Covenant for the Son of God, the eternal Word. And so she had to be utterly pure, holy, all the things, the one closest and most united to God from her conception. Did your mother ever, this is a very bad example, but that's all I could think of. Did your mother ever go and pick out a car? And she knows exactly what she wants. She's not going to pick a truck if she wants a station wagon. She's not going to pick a two-seater. So she looks very special. She reads everything, and she sees, is this what I really want? But your mother picks a car among many cars. Not so with God. He chose his son's mother with special care. God's infinite providence created this particular woman with very special gifts just for his son. See? And so, although Our Lady is a woman, she's nature's solitary boast. That's what Longfellow said. She was something and is something above everyone else, above angels and mankind. Very special.
And now moving along, we have another one. This is a call having to do with someone dealing with people getting married outside the church and what one can do about that or should do about that.
So we know, and here in the South, this is something quite frequent. You have mixed marriages, so someone who's Catholic and someone who's a Christian but a non-Catholic. And what is necessary is that the church has it's a minister present. It's actually the couple that confects the sacrament by the exchange of vows, but it's necessary for also the church to approve of that union, and so there has to be a minister of the church present.
Right, as a witness. And one of the things I think Mother really makes a really good point here, because it can be very tough in individual situations for people to decide whether they should or shouldn't be in a situation like this. She said, you cannot condone someone who is doing something wrong, but you cannot love them less. You must continue to love them, but you cannot condone what they're doing. And that's what's confusing, which is to say, I don't condone what you do. It doesn't mean I love you any less.
So many families are in this situation. I talk to them a lot of people in this situation. What do I do? You know, my children are getting married on the shore. They're going here, they're going there. God's not a part of this. And really, they have to discern each situation on its own. Mm-hmm. You don't want to sever that relationship, and you want to continue to love them as you can, even as you point out that it would be much better for them to have God as part of that relationship.
Absolutely. And let's listen to what Mother had to say.
We have another call. Hello?
Good evening, Mother.
Good evening, and where are you from?
God bless. I'm from New Jersey, and my name's Mary Ann.
Wonderful.
God bless you and your staff for five of the most spiritual, crying, goosebump days I have had in my entire life.
Wonderful.
Mother, I have a question for you. While you were at a funeral back maybe a month or so ago,
right,
you had a guest Monsignor on, and a gentleman called in and said that his daughter was being married outside of the Catholic Church.
Right.
And as a Catholic, he could not give her away and take part in the service.
Right.
The Monsignor agreed with him and told him that he could go to the reception, not to the church.
Right.
A dear friend who has been a family friend for over 30 years, their 25-year-old son got married in a non-Catholic church.
Right.
I fought with my conscience whether to go or not.
Yeah.
And I decided that I would go, that God would forgive me, and I would go, and I sat in the back of the church with my son. And on the altar was a Monsignor in full vestments, not partaking in the service, not blessing the couple, but he was the namesake of the non-Catholic girl, okay? And he was there on the altar with the minister, and then he gave a sermon.
He's allowed as a priest. See, most of them would not have a priest witness. If the priest witnesses the marriage, that's what the missing element is most of the time. When a girl or a boy gets married in a non-Catholic church or a justice of peace or any of those ways, without a priest being present, then you cannot go to that wedding. You may go to the reception, but you cannot condone someone that's doing something wrong. See? For example, a friend of one of our friends, their daughter got married in a woods or someplace. I don't know where it was. Well, she couldn't go to that. You see, she could not condone. The man had been married twice before. You cannot condone someone who's doing something wrong, but you cannot love them less. See, you must continue to love them, but you cannot condone what they're doing. And that's what's so confusing today. See, a priest may witness a non-Catholic marriage. That's okay. That's accepted by the church. But it is not acceptable where there is no Catholic witness. See, we have to know it's not a matter of love. It's a matter of condoning.
There's more Mother Angelica answering the call
on EWTN Radio.
Let's return to Mother Angelica
answering the call
with Father Joseph and Doug Kecht on EWTN Radio.
And we are back for the second half of Mother Angelica Answering the Call. Doug Keck here with Father Joseph Mary Wolf, and we'll move right in. Mother's discussion about angels. She liked angels, didn't she?
She had a great devotion to the angels, and yet she says you got to be careful. There's a lot of strange literature and statues and other these things, New Age movement, enlists these sort of things. So you got to be careful that you're choosing, you know, holy angels, good angels, those that are mentioned in scriptures, our guardian angels, and those sorts of things.
Right, and exactly, that's the point. And especially back in the day when Mother was doing the show in the 80s into the 90s, there was a lot of New Age adaptations of angels and misunderstanding for a lot of people.
Yeah, so-called spirituality. I'm not religious, I'm spiritual, right? So that can mean a lot of strange things sometimes. I would like to bring up a point, too. You know, one time I had been to an exorcist conference, and because Mother was they're talking about ghosts here. And this English exorcist was talking about these castles that were seemingly haunted. Well, what they discovered was that they were actually holy souls asking for prayers. And once they had a mass offer for the blessed repose of those who had died there, that it eliminated that. So that could be another element too, holy souls that are asking for prayers.
And that's a general thing we should always think about all the time, especially in relation to purgatory. In many ways, it's a beautiful teaching of the church, isn't it?
It's really a teaching of mercy.
Right.
You know, that God does not condemn us to hell for our faults. Yes, if we willingly reject him, then we choose to go to hell. But most people are not ready for the glory of heaven. They desire that purification that we need.
Right. Let's see what Mother had to say about angels.
We have a call. Hello?
Yes, Mother Angelica?
Yeah, where are you from?
Springfield, Illinois.
Hey, what is your question?
Mother, I was just reading a book on angels.
Yeah.
And it dealt with different forms of spirits. And it said something about what we might refer to as ghosts. And I was wondering what your opinion is after someone leaves this life, leaves the earth after they pass away, if it's possible that their spirit can remain with some of their loved ones here on earth, or do they depart immediately, or exactly what happens?
You have to watch some of these angel books. They're of the other angels. They're not God's angels. That's number one. Number two, when you die, the church teaches you are judged immediately. And there's three places you go: heaven, purgatory, or hell. People put themselves in hell because they cannot stand the awesome holiness of God. Those who go to purgatory put themselves there because they realize, maybe for the first time in their life, how unlike Jesus they are. They want to be purified. They want to be like this awesome Savior. Now, maybe they're sorry, but they never paid much attention to him. Got a lot of rough spots. And then there are those who have loved God their whole life. And when they see him, they run into his arms. That's heaven. People, these so-called spirits who come back, are either from the lower region. Now, I know some people have had visitations from relatives. There's a very fascinating church in Italy, in Rome. And I went in there because I could hardly believe what I was told. By golly, there it was. This one man was in purgatory, and when he came to visit someone to ask for prayers, he put his hand on a book, and his hand went all the way through, burned like a crisp. And I thought, whew, wow. Well, that's a symbol of the yearning the soul has for God. A holy soul in purgatory, seldom, if any, and then you know it. All these New Agers that have mentors, you better be very careful. All you kids out there, be very careful. you're dealing with fire. You go around playing, and you parents have to be very careful who your children go with and what they do for games. Because they can get so possessed by these hideous creatures that they call games that the enemy can enter to your soul. Now all you liberals listen and go, ho, 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 there she goes again. Well, ho, ho to you, sweetheart. Because by not teaching the truth and getting all this crazy political and inclusive language and Bibles that you can't even read, you may be gone down there yourself. It doesn't matter whether you believe in hell. There is one. If you can't look at a newspaper today and watch the news and not believe in hell, there is something wrong with you. And if all of us aren't living a purgatory today, then you don't know what purgatory is all about. You have your loneliness, you have your sickness, you have your fears. By giving them all to Jesus, you repair for all the sins in your life. What a wonderful thing. You can go to confession, you can receive the Eucharist. And now some churches don't even have Eucharists. Be careful. If the consecration isn't said correctly, walk out and go to a place that it is said correctly. There are things you can do and things you can't. You're headed towards eternity. Be careful which way you go.
And closing out for this week's show, we have a question about a husband who wants a divorce after being only married about 15 months, Father.
And Mother asks a question, really, did he have the right intention when he entered marriage? You know, before the marriage ceremony happens, the couple is asked in the Catholic ceremony three questions. If they're entering in a marriage without being coerced, if they plan to honor and love each other for the rest of their lives, and to accept children from God. So the reason the church asks those questions is to see if you have the right dispositions. So really you have to ask after 15 months, did he really have the right dispositions for permanence in marriage?
Right. And again, she's dealing with someone who's concerned that if this happens, that it's really, in a lot of ways, her fault, mm-hmm. and that she'll never be able to marry again, and Mother helps to clarify some of that. But again, like you said, this idea one has to have, like, in committing any sin, basically understanding what one is doing. Mm-hmm. In this case, on a positive side, you have to know what you're committing yourself to.
Exactly, and Mother's encouraging this dear lady to find a canon lawyer, a good priest who can give her some guidance of whether or not maybe she should pursue the annulments if that is what he had not the right intentions entering into marriage.
Absolutely. Tough issue. Husband wants a divorce. Go ahead, Mother Angelica.
We have another call. Hello?
Hello, Mother Angelica.
Yeah, where are you from?
I'm from Maryland.
And what is your question?
Well, my question is for my daughter. She's only been married 15 months, and her husband has decided that he thinks he's made a mistake, and he's asking for a divorce. And being very strong Catholic, she does not want a divorce. She has tried everything to try counseling and have him try to work things out. And she's dealing with the spiritualness of being rejected her whole life, especially with God. And I've tried to tell her that, you know, God maybe will be doing this because maybe he feels it's the best thing for her. I don't know what's down the road for her. But how do I get her to know that she will be forgiven? Right now she believes that she could never marry again.
Sweetheart, she didn't do anything wrong. I'm not too sure what you mean by forgiven. She didn't do anything to be forgiven. It's her husband. She's dealing with a bad decision on his part. So she is hurt. And as far as the marriage is concerned, you need to talk to a canonist. Yeah, it may be that this man never married her for the right reasons. Or he didn't marry her because he loved her. He had or he never intended to keep his vows, you see. So please go and tell her, but she needs to get over this hurt first. See, with a real marriage, you if you separate, you can't remarry. You know that. But first of all, find out what was this man's intention. You're talking about not even a year and a half. There's something wrong with him. Very, very wrong. Not only does she need to pray, I wouldn't want her to be as brokenhearted as my mother was for years and years and years and years. She never remarried, but it was one heartache after another. And I just want you to get some good, really good holy priest that will help her through this. But she has not done anything wrong, unless I'm understanding you. It's her husband, is it not true? Her husband is the one that is doing something terribly wrong. There's more to that than meets the eye as far as he's concerned, and you need to find that out. Ask to see a canonist. But see, that's not going to help. But she probably loves, that's a terrible, terrible hurt. Pray for her and ask her to go before the Blessed Sacrament. Jesus will heal her heart.
For more about Mother Angelica and to listen to her shows, go to EWTN.com. See you next time on Mother Angelica, Answering the Call, only on EWTN Radio.